I don't have a funny story to start off the sermon with. I apologize. I'll tell you right up front. Before I begin, I want to say thank you again to Colleen and to the pastors for letting me be able to speak. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be with the youth, to help serve with the youth. It's great. And something, Colleen knows this, like the people who come to youth, they know when I speak from the Word of God, I love the Word of God, and one of the things that I want for everyone who's listening to enjoy it so much that they want to go home and study it and take it and hide it in their hearts themselves. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." So I encourage you guys to study the Word of God, to equip yourselves, and to be ready. And then 1 Peter 3:15, this is another verse that encourages me so much when I feel like, oh, I don't want to read the Bible right now. It says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear." We need to prepare ourselves. We need to take the Word of God, hide it in our hearts, like it says in Psalm 119. And then one last thing, in Acts 17, Luke, he commends the people of Berea. He says, "These people were more fair-minded than the people of Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." So whatever I say up here, whatever Andrew or Colleen or the pastor say up here, it's your job as the church of God to go home, to study the Word of God, to find out, is it true, is it not true, to take it and hold it up. And then it's also your job to meditate on it, according to Joshua 1, Psalm 1, Psalm 63, and Psalm 119. But that's all prelude before we get started. Last time when I spoke about being like a child before God, coming before him with faith, with persistence, with perseverance, coming before God and asking him for things, and being persistent in asking him and trusting him in faith and in believing that he's going to work. And today, I'm going to be talking about God, about part of God's character and how we relate to that. My sermon tonight, it's going to be based from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles there, that's going to be the main passage for tonight. I'm going to be going through a lot of different areas, but if you just keep a finger there, we're going to be coming back to this. And it was really cool. I was sitting in church, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and Luciano was talking, and he said something. It reminded me of something from Isaiah. I opened up to Isaiah, and when I saw this verse, I was like, wow, and God gave me what it was that I should speak about, and I was just like, this is so cool, and I'm so excited to bring this message before you. The message, I don't know if I said it already, it's entitled God, Our Rock. And again, like so much what was sung during the worship, that God is our mantuitoro, si salvatoro, and all these different things, that God is our refuge and our defense. But this is our passage that we're going to be reading, so I'm going to read it. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Jesus says this, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. Or it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Amen. This sermon, it's not going to be something crazy, amazing, fabulous theology. It's going to be really simple, really good. And the way how I thought about it as I was getting ready, I was like, this is like mashed potatoes. I really love food. I really love mashed potatoes. And mashed potatoes aren't like the greatest thing ever. You don't go to a restaurant and be like, man, I can't wait to order some mashed potatoes. You know, you're like, I'm like looking forward to the steak or something like that. And this sermon isn't going to be a steak. It's going to be mashed potatoes. It's something good, satisfying, warm, and I hope that it fills you, that it gives you guys life and strength to keep going. And then at the end, I'm going to put some gravy on top of the mashed potatoes. So the whole sermon, and this is the other reason I love this sermon so much, is going to be found in verse 47. So every time that you guys read this parable from the Bible, from now on, you'll be able to remember all 3 points of the sermon. Super easy. It says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like." So the first point that Jesus brings is he says, "Whoever comes to me." So I'm going to actually flip over to Matthew 7. Because this story, it turns out, this parable, is spoken by Jesus. And the context that it's spoken of is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So we have Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Jesus is talking for hours and hours to all these people, and then he ends his sermon with this statement. This is the conclusion. If you don't remember anything else from his whole sermon until now, remember this. So it has the whole story in Matthew 7. I'm only going to read verses 28 and 29 because the parable is almost the same. And it says this after Jesus finished the sermon, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So the reason why I bring this up is because the first point, it says, whoever comes to me, we can't go to the scribes, we can't go to the Pharisees, we can't go to the world, we only go to Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when Peter is giving the sermon on the day of Pentecost, he says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So the first point is very simple. We come to Jesus. He's the only one that we come to. And when we come to him, we see that he speaks with authority. He speaks true life into our lives. It isn't just like the people of the world who call out for us, who call for our attention, but it is the voice of truth, the voice of God who speaks to us. And then in Romans 10, verse 9, I have it written here, so I won't open it up. It says, "If you confess with your mouth in the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So there's no one else that we turn to. It's only to Jesus that we turn to. That's the very first point. It's super simple, super easy. Okay, the second point, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings." So I wanted to... This is something that I really love when God speaks through different people and he brings up different points over and over and over again. A few weeks ago, Dan Druhora spoke about Samuel, about hearing the voice of God. Last week, Andrew talked about hearing from God, about knowing how to make decisions, how to go, how to stop, all these different things. I want to read you guys a verse from Isaiah. It's one of my favorite verses. It's Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. And this is a prophecy, actually, about Jesus. It's Isaiah 50, verse 4. And remember, the point for this one is, whoever hears my sayings, right? This is what it's a prophecy about Jesus. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." We see that. When Jesus is on earth, he's here, he's moving, he knows when to speak, when to act, when to go. But this is the point that I want you to listen to. "He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." Man, I love that verse. I love it because it has these two parts, and it says, yes, I want to be able to be used by God to speak when God tells me to speak, to know what to speak, when to speak, how to speak it, that I would be able to lift up a person who's weary, but I also like that God awakens me morning by morning. And that's my encouragement for you guys. This is a prophecy about Jesus, but we call ourselves Christians. So us, being Christians, we want to live our lives in a way that are pleasing to God. We want to live like Jesus. And again, I love this because it goes back that God wants us to sit there, to listen to him, to talk to him. And I wrote this funny line. I'm like, God doesn't just want us to listen to him when we call a prorok or something, but he wants us to listen to him daily because he speaks to us each and every day. There's a song that I used to sing when I was in school, when I was in like elementary grades. And I can't wait until Jeremiah gets to that age and he starts singing that song. It says, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres." When we sit there and we listen, God wants to talk to us, to each and every one of us. He wants to have a relationship with each one of us. And then for us, in response, to be like Samuel, to say, speak, Lord, for your servants, they hear, they're listening. So the first point is we come to God. We come to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that we come to. The second point is that we listen to him. We listen to his words. We study the word of God. We hide it in our hearts, and we listen to him. We take time to spend there listening, talking to him, and expecting to hear from him, whether it be in decisions that we make, whether it be in his calling for our lives, whatever it may be. So that's the second point. And the third point, I'll read the verse so you can hear it again. Whoever comes to me and hears these sayings, hears my sayings, and does them, I will show you whom he is like. So the last point is we have to do something. It isn't just enough for us to sit there and be. The example I love, turkeys, right? We're not turkeys as Christians. We don't come to church and get fed and gobble, 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 and then go home and then come back and gobble, gobble, gobble. That's not our job. Our job is to be active people, people who serve the Lord. And again, it's like all these great things that come through sermons over and over and over again. Lucian last week, he mentioned in Matthew 5, or 2 weeks ago when he spoke, I'm sorry. In Matthew 5, verse 14, it's something that Jesus says, again, on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And I love how Lucian brought up that point. It doesn't say it shouldn't be hidden, it won't be hidden, but it says it cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world, and you guys, as the light of the world, we cannot be hidden. There's no way for us to go in a hole in the middle of nowhere to be hermits and say, oh, God doesn't need to do anything with me. God has something for each and every one of us. There's no way for us to hide from that. And then if you move down two verses, verse 16, it says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow, that's like such an amazing verse. I have it highlighted in my Bible. I'm like, man, that's amazing that God wants us to have our good works to shine, and then through our good works that people glorify God. That's amazing. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. So when we go before God, this is what we have to do. We can't just passively receive from the Lord, say, God, I'm listening, and just sit there and do that. But we have to study the word of God. We have to do something. That is our application. Part of our life is to be spent studying the word of God. Like I described the people of Berea, they searched the scriptures daily. That was their job. And I said it, and I wrote it. I want to read you guys this. The Pharisees were so caught up in their own lifestyle that when God himself came, they didn't recognize him. And I wrote it down, and I just kept going, but I was like, man, that's so interesting. Like, the Pharisees, who spent all day studying the scriptures, memorizing the scriptures, right? They had to memorize, like, the whole Torah and stuff. When God actually came and spoke to them and talked to them, they didn't recognize him. So it's like, at the same time that it's an encouragement, we search the scriptures, we find Jesus, we spend time with him, we have to be careful that we have a relationship with God, that it isn't just all up here, but it's down here. I heard one time that the greatest distance is from your head down to your heart, because it isn't enough to just know about God. You have to have a relationship with him. I can tell you all sorts of things about Andrew Valian, but unless if you have a relationship with him, you don't know who he actually is. You don't have that one-on-one with him that you would otherwise. And that's the way how it is with God. It isn't enough to sit here in church, to listen to sermon after sermon. It is enough to go and to do all sorts of different things if you don't have your own relationship with God. So, Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Super simple Bible study. And now every time you guys see it, you'll see this. Whoever comes to me, we go to Jesus. And here's my sayings, we search the scriptures, we study the word of God, we listen to him, and we talk to him, and does these things, okay, and does them. So these are the three things that I wanted to encourage you guys with tonight. That is the mashed potatoes of the sermon. And now I want to give you guys a little gravy on the side, because I really like mashed potatoes, but gravy is also good. The last part of the verse says, I will show you whom he is like. And what I did for this was, remember the title of the sermon is God, Our Rock, right? So it's very simple, the sermon, but then we come to the actual parable and it's about a man who built his house on the rock. So I went through the Bible and I found all these different verses that talk about God as our rock or as our refuge or as our fortress or deliverer, all these different things. And I want to read through them and I want you guys to sit there to enjoy them, to meditate upon these things. And that's my hope, that these things that I tell you right now, like Jesus said, let them sink into your ears and then let them come back to you over and over and over again as you go through the week. When something bad happens, remember this. Remember these promises of God. I remember one time, just a few months ago, Colleen was speaking at youth, and he said when Jesus came from the dead, he validated all of the promises that God gave us in the Old Testament. He validated it. He put the proof behind it. He said, they aren't just words anymore. I'm putting all my weight behind those words. I'm going to fulfill all of those things. So I want to encourage you guys. And again, this is part of how when I study the Bible, I find so much encouragement and inspiration from reading through the Word of God. So the first place I want to read is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I didn't have enough bookmarks to put in my Bible for all of these. So remember, Jesus had this sermon, and he said that the man who does these things, he's like a man who digs deep, who builds his house upon the rock, and then he won't be shaken. And I wrote it like the song. The rains came down, and the floods came up, and the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. So I'm going to read you guys some verses about God as our rock. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, it says this, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. And you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So remember, the like third point of the sermon is we have to do something. Our life is to be a service of sacrifice before God. But we come to him, and God says, you're just like stones. I'm using you, and I'm building up this beautiful house, this beautiful temple. And our foundation is Jesus Christ. So that's in 1 Peter. I'm going to flip back to the Old Testament for a little bit. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, therefore, thus says the Lord God, this is a prophecy about Jesus, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and whoever believes will not act hastily. And this is a prophecy about Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone of this household that God is creating. If we flip over to Psalms chapter 61, I apologize. I have a lot of different bookmarks. Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2, I'm sorry. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. If we read verse 3, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. No matter what you're going through, you can always turn to God. I love how verse 2, how it says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Right now I'm down. Right now I'm low. Right now I've been beat up and just, like, I tripped, right? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It's like when David says in the other Psalms, he says he makes my feet like hinds' feet or like the feet of a deer, and he sets me on my high places. Lead me to those high places, to those rocks that are higher than I, because I can't get there myself. A verse that's similar to this is Proverbs 18, verse 10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. It's an amazing thing that we can turn to our God and we can run there, that we can be safe. That's one of the reasons I love the Psalms, because it just brings all these emotions together and it says, whatever emotions you have, whether you're feeling good, whether you're feeling bad, you can come before God and give yourself to him, and he's honored and glorified through that. If you flip back to Psalm 62, verse 2, it says, I'll read verse 1 as well. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. In verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Again, it's something that we can come to God, that we can cling to him, and that we won't be moved. If we flip back a few more pages to Psalm 46, this is one of my favorite psalms, and I think Frater Lazar spoke on it just a few weeks ago. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 and verse 5. And this is another one describing God, his majesty, and how we can come to him. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. There was an earthquake a few nights ago, right? I woke up from that. It was pretty jarring. But that's the thing. It's like, even though the mountains be removed, we can trust in our God. Though the seas, though its waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. So pause, wait, meditate upon this right here. Everything we just said, that God is our refuge, our strength, that we can trust in him no matter what, I want you to pause, to meditate upon these words. It's fun when you read through the Psalms and you see that phrase, Selah, to stop there for a second and to reflect on what you just read. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Not only is our God our refuge, our defense, our fortress, our tabernacle, but he's also our help. He helps us day by day. The song at the very beginning, it says that your mercies are renewed day by day. Day by day, the Lord renews his mercies, and he supplies us with what we need. If we flip to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, we're going to take this verse, and we're going to look at it, and then look at something in the New Testament as well. Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." So by absolute destruction. There's no hope for the person who doesn't believe in God, who's unrighteous. I want you all, if you have your Bibles, to flip with me to 2 Timothy. Yes, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Right? So we start off with this verse that says, though the righteous man shall fall 7 times, he will rise again. Right? And we come to this spot where Paul, he's in prison, he's about to die. He's talking to Timothy, and he says this, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." And when I read this verse, I can't help but think of that verse in Proverbs, because I feel like Paul is saying, look, how many times was I in shipwrecks, and was I out in the deep, and all these different problems that I had, but the Lord was with me. The Lord strengthened me. The Lord was the strength of my right hand. Amen. He stood with me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. And also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. It's amazing that we can turn to God, that we can trust in him. And even though we fall, we don't fall and are destroyed, but God lifts us up. That we can turn to him and that he strengthens us. I'm going to flip back just a few pages to Ephesians. Again, like I said, this was just pulling all these verses from the Bible that I love talking about God and how we turn to him and stuff. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he says that he prays for the Ephesians. And this is one of the things that he prays, that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Right? So we turn to God, and his spirit gives us strength, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and this is the part that I really love, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. It's interesting, he doesn't say rooted and grounded in the word of God. It isn't rooted and grounded in all these different things. He says in love. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love this passage because it gives me this image, like, we aren't just people who are building a house and we're like, okay, we made this beautiful house. But it gives me a different image. It says, What if we're like a tree, right? And instead of just building our house on the rock, we put down our roots and we go deeper and deeper and deeper into the ground. And when trials come, we go deeper because we're searching for the word of God, for the water of the Lord, right? For living water, for real life, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Now, a tree that sat there for years and years and grown deep, 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 and been rooted and grounded in this rock. If a wind comes, if a storm comes, if anything comes, its roots are so deep that you can't make the tree fall over. You're going to rip the tree before you actually get its roots out of the ground. And like Job says, even then, there's a chance that the tree would come back to life. I love that image, and sometimes I pray this, and I encourage you guys to pray this, that you would grow deeper and deeper, rooted and grounded in the love of God, so that you can understand all these things. And that's another thing that I love. In verse 18, it isn't just, okay, we're going to be rooted in love, but it's as we're rooted in this love, we draw closer to God. We understand more about God. And that's beautiful, that we can draw close to him like that. The final verse on this topic, in Ephesians chapter 2, so just like on the other page, verses 19 through 22, it says this, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom all, you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So again, over and over and over again, this theme comes up that we are being built together with each other, with the apostles, with the saints. So like what Colleen was saying earlier, one generation declares your works to another and says your mighty acts. We come here from all sorts of different generations, and we praise God, and we draw close to God, and he takes us, and he builds us up into this beautiful household that's honoring and glorifying to him. I have a bunch of other verses that I didn't give the sound station, but I'll say some of them. In Job chapter 28, so that was just like God as our rock, as our refuge, as someone we turn to, and he gives us strength. There are other things that just in my own studies in the Bible, I found them, and I put them together. And I want to just give them to you kind of in full and encourage you guys to go to search them. In Job, he talks about wisdom. In Job chapter 28, he's sitting there. All of his friends are attacking him and accusing him and stuff. And one of the things he talks about is wisdom. And he says that wisdom is like rubies. It's like rocks hidden in the earth that nobody knows where it's from. And it's more precious than that. It's even better than that. So a person who goes down and mines and searches for rubies and gold and all that stuff, he isn't getting anything compared to what he would be getting if he went after wisdom. In Proverbs 8, in Proverbs 13, it says that wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things you desire cannot be compared with it. And then, if we look again in Job, he finishes the chapter, and he says that Jesus, or the Messiah, or God, however it is, that Jesus is the source of wisdom. And it's repeated again in Psalm 110 and Psalm 9, verse 10. I'll read you guys one of these. Psalm 110, verse 10. This is one of those verses that has it said so clearly. I'm sorry, I wrote that wrong. Psalm 111, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments, and his praise endures forever." So this is something that I pray for every day. I'm like, oh God, give me wisdom so I would know what to speak, like all these different things, right? And then the people in Proverbs and Job, they say that rubies are not worth as much as wisdom is, right? The most precious thing that you can think of on earth, it's nothing compared to wisdom. And God is the source of this wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom. And I want to read one last verse before I wrap this up. So there are all these things that we talked about. So there was the sermon itself, which is very simple. We come to God, we come to Jesus, we listen to his words, we study the word of God, we listen to him, and we call out to him, and we say, God, we are listening, we want to hear from you. And then we do from the word of God. We're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. And when we do these things, we can turn to God because he is our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our shelter, all these different things. Another great place to read is Psalm 18, where David is just praising God. And he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust. And this is the last thing, right? God is greater than everything that we can have on this earth. And the wisdom that he gives us and the life that he gives us is greater than anything you can purchase with money. And this is what I want to end with in Psalm 118. This is where it comes from, that verse, the stone which the builders rejected. Psalm 118, verses 22 through 24. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It's a beautiful verse. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. But the next verse is the one that I love so much. It says, this was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It isn't just the thing that we're like, oh yeah, God sent Jesus and he died for us and all these things. But no, it's marvelous in our eyes. When we study the word of God, when we see all the promises that he has given us, again, it inspires us. It encourages us to live better lives, more pure lives, lives that are honoring to God. So I hope that this sermon was an encouragement to you guys. If I can leave you with one last verse, it's Hebrews 13, verse 8. It says that yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. And I don't have it, but I was going to bring you a rock as an example. When we moved back to where we live now, we lived in Arizona for a few years when I was really small, like smaller than Jeremiah. And when we moved back, I had this stone. And what I did was I took it and I put it in my backyard, right? And I had it for years and years and years and years in my backyard. I knew exactly where it was. It was by one of our fruit trees, because that's where I kept all of my cool stones. And this rock, it was about this big, and I had it for years and years and years and years. You know what happened to it? Nothing. It never changed. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a rock. It never changed. And that's how our God is. So if you want to put up that verse again, it says, yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. That's the amazing thing. Everything that we read about in the Bible, all these promises, they don't change. They stand forever. Like it says in Psalm 119, I'll read it. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. So all these promises, all these things that we see when we study the Bible, we can apply to our lives. We can be built up with them and we can trust in God because he's a rock that never changes. So that was the sermon that I wanted to bring before you guys. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to do so.